Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak. And here at Growing Leaders, we empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Tim, I'm excited about today's conversation.
I am too. It's going to be fun.
Yes, you recently sat down with a leader that we respect a whole lot. And I'm just going to introduce her really quick, but then I've got a question before we jump into the interview. Ginger Hartage is the current CEO of Unstoppable Cultures, an organization that she started. And she actually wrote a book by the same name as well, Unstoppable Cultures. And she really is an expert on culture. She built that through a 25-year career at one of the organizations with the best culture that we know of, Southwest Airlines. If you've ever been on a Southwest flight, you know exactly where that amazing culture comes from. And she was a leader. She actually ended her career as the senior VP of culture and communications there. So
what a great job.
Yeah. What a great title too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it sounds like she earned it.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
We were super impressed by her. I don't know if you want to say anything else about her.
Well, she's delightful. And for those that get to come in June to join us to hear her speak live and in person, they will not be let down. Practical, warm, funny, entertaining, and you always walk away with something you can say, I could use that today.
Yeah. So when you were thinking about, you know, we were looking ahead to this principles roundtable, and we knew we wanted our subject to be culture. What was it about Ginger that made you think she's perfect for this?
Well, Southwest Airlines over the last three or four decades has built a culture that if anybody is savvy to the corporate world, they know this organization leads the way. I mean, them and Disney and Starbucks have built this incredible culture. And Herb Kelleher did it with Ginger as the chief culture officer through some very practical and simple steps that any organization, any school can actually practice. Mm. They didn't have some lofty idea, well, that's nice for you, but I could never do that.
Yeah.
Everything she said to us, we thought, that's doable.
Yeah. So, it's not like these are just the principles for airplane culture.
Yeah,
it's like
this
is just the basics of culture no matter where you are.
Yep.
So I'm really excited. Listeners, I hope you're getting pumped too. Let's listen in the conversation between Tim and Ginger Hartage.
So I am here today with Ginger Hartage. I have never met Ginger in person, but I can hardly wait to meet her in June of this year. Ginger's going to join us at our roundtable for principals in Atlanta, Georgia. Ginger, just so you'll know, and you just heard this, is the CEO of Unstoppable Cultures, and it's all about helping organizations build unstoppable cultures, corporate cultures, organizational cultures. Ginger really cut her teeth, though. I don't know if that's okay to say, Ginger, but at Southwest Airlines, you were the vice president of company culture there. Talk just a little bit about what you did there at Southwest, and then I'm going to jump into some questions for you.
Certainly. I joined Southwest after I'd already been out in the business world, but I joined them in 1990 in charge of public relations. Okay. But over the years, and this is so typical of Southwest, if you show initiative and want to take on more things, more will be given to you.
Yes.
And that's the kind of organizations all of us want to work at.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I fell into what I would describe at Southwest as my dream job.
Wow.
And so I started out early on. And, you know, Tim, I almost didn't get hired, I thought, because I had interviewed with Herb Kelleher, who was the founder of Southwest, and Colleen Barrett, who ended up being the president later on of Southwest Airlines. And I thought the interview went great, and we had this great conversation. And then I went back to my job, and I didn't hear from them in a little while. And then suddenly I got this call from someone who said, we're sitting here waiting on you for your follow-up 9 o'clock interview and you aren't here.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what? And it was the vice president. He said, I'm the vice president of governmental affairs and we're waiting on you. And then we realized we forgot to tell you. And he starts laughing. So that's when I knew people at Southwest really did have a great sense of humor.
Yes, they're real.
So we quickly turned that around and I got the job. But over 25 years, I was able to take on more responsibility. And ended up taking on after Colleen Barrett retired from the company, ended up taking on all the culture aspects as well, and really working on nourishing the culture, making sure the building blocks are in place to constantly nourish, because culture is not a faucet that you can turn on and off. You've got to have the systems in place to continually nourish it and have the will to want to do that as well.
Yeah. So I think we've all heard great legendary stories of Herb Kelleher and how he started Southwest and the kinds of just not only sense of humor, but just the relationships he built. So since Southwest is so famous for having a phenomenal company culture, would you just talk about that for a minute? What kinds of things did you all do that made it so distinguishable?
Well, it was a continual focus on bringing in the right kind of employees who would represent and live the values. Mm-hmm. So Southwest, of all the applications, the company typically gets around almost 400,000 applications a year.
Wow.
And only 2% of those employees are generally hired. So it is such a focus on bringing in the right kind of people into the organization that align with the values. And weaving those values and focusing on that at all points of the employee contact, all the way from recruiting to hiring to onboarding to training to customer delivery, and now also on the end on performance feedback. Mm. It's always talking about building in the values and how we represent our company through all aspects of it.
I love that.
And one of the best questions that I think really illustrate that Southwest continues to focus on that is a question we added to the employee survey that was, how do you consider your job at Southwest Airlines? Mm. And I encourage other employees, other organizations to use this question as well. Would you describe your job as a stepping stone to another job? Is it just a job, or is it a calling? Mm, and 71% of the employees at Southwest Airlines describe their job as a calling.
Wow.
And I think that's where we're all headed. Would love to be headed as organizations, to have that level of commitment from our employees.
No doubt about it. So I'm hearing you say, in many ways, you hired the culture you wanted in the individuals that came on the team. So you didn't have to train him. Well, I'm sure there was training, but it sounds like you picked the people that were going to be embodying those values right from the beginning. I love that.
Yeah. Yes, Tim. And there's a book written on that topic that I love the title of the book. It's Hire Tough So You Can Manage Easy. So that's a great example of that, is really taking the time, not settling for people who coming into your organization, because we all know how difficult it is to fire a person. We want to bring people in that are going to immediately start adding value and fit the values of our organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about some of the Southwest Airline company values. You've mentioned that already. How did you see team members living those out?
Well, you know, our values in our organizations describe how we behave. Mm-hmm. And Southwest had three pretty unique company values. And we describe that as living the Southwest way.
Okay.
So one was warrior spirit, which really entails working hard and persevering. Because when you think about the weather conditions that employees might be working in, you know, the employees who are out there loading the luggage, they are in snow, they're in rain, they're in the summer heat. So it's setting up that expectation at all levels of the organization of just how hard the work is going to be. We're going to have to persevere and work hard. So it's going to require a warrior spirit. Another is servant's heart. And that's treating others with respect, treating other people like you'd like to be treated. And our president emeritus, Colleen Barrett, always said that we were in the customer service business as with our servant's heart. And we just happened to fly airplanes.
Yeah, love it. That's good. Yeah.
And then the last one I think is the most unique, and that is a fun, loving attitude and not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Again, being in the customer service business, you want to put people at ease. You want to solve their problems quickly, but not taking yourself too seriously when you're doing it, having a fun, loving attitude. And I think a lot of people know about the fun, loving flight attendants at Southwest who will get you to listen to this safety announcement because they're delivering it with a lot of humor and again, having fun and not taking themselves too seriously.
No doubt about it. That's one of the things I enjoy most when I fly Southwest is just I get ready to laugh at the very beginning of the flight. Something's going to be saying funny.
Right.
And
that's part of the goal is, you know, putting people at ease. And and then one of the things we always do in the organization is continually tell stories about those values. One of a trick that I think we could all borrow from as leaders from the pages of Gary Kelly, who's the CEO of Southwest. Every week he records a message to employees and he always ends it with a shout out. And that shout out describes the values. He talks about how an employee might have been living the values. Yeah. So I don't want leaders to get hung up on, well, I'm not going to record a message, or you can do whatever way works in your organization. It could be an email. It could be in a personal meeting. It could be you might have a video story you tell every week. But the important thing is being out there as a leader, reinforcing those values, and storytelling is a wonderful way to reinforce it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Am I remembering correctly? I feel like years ago, Herb Kelleher, didn't he take out a full-page ad in the newspaper and just talked about how much he loved his employees? Am I remembering correctly?
That is something Herb would do.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Because and he really set the tone. Yeah. And as CEO, Gary Kelly has carried that on. And all of the leaders are fully bought into the fact that employees are where we start within your organization. Because if you have happy employees who are empowered to live out the values of the organization, solve problems, take care of customers.
Yeah.
If you hire those kind of employees, they'll take care of our customers. And if our customers keep coming back, our shareholders are going to return, or our stakeholders, whatever we might have in our organization. So if you just think of that as a complete circle, starting with happy employees, happy customers, happy shareholders, and then the whole process starts all over again.
Yeah, I love that. So I'd love to hear some stories. How have you seen ownership lived out at Southwest and now at your own company? But meaning you want every team member to own it. You've kind of implied that in your comments so far. How did Southwest empower employees to do this?
Well, our goal at Southwest as leaders was to make sure that our employees felt empowered to, as we, in quote, act like owners. And I think that's what all of us want in our organizations. And so one of the ways I talk to organizations about thinking about that, if you were just to compare your organization to a large event tent, and you just imagine those tall poles holding up that massive tent, and those tall poles would be your values. And written on those poles would be how our values are carried out. But then in the tent, employees are allowed to move around very freely because they're empowered to act like owners, to live out our values, to show their personality, act creatively, take initiative. So not being too prescriptive how we allow our employees to live out our values, because if we do, we're going to miss out on some really delightful surprises.
No doubt about it. Yeah. In fact, I found sometimes the flaw that leaders have is they are too prescriptive. We're late, you know, every single behavior, and now it's just by the book rather than getting creative and saying, wow, this lady here in front of me today needs more than a flight, you know, or whatever. And next thing you know, they're serving extravagantly and sacrificially, and in a way that everybody remembers it who sees it. That's powerful. That's neat.
Yeah. One of the stories that I remember recently, and actually the story was told by the customer, and that's some of the most powerful stories is when our customers are feeding back on their social channels or whatever means they're feeding back those stories to us. And one of the stories came from a young mother named Jessica Barrett. And Jessica actually posted this on Facebook. And, you know, so she's a young mom. You can imagine she's got the stroller. She's going down trying to put her child into, you know, they're at the end of the jetway. She takes her child out of the stroller. They take the stroller, put it beneath the aircraft so she can have it when they land. She gets settled in to her seat and realizes she doesn't have her cell phone. And so quickly rings her call button. They were able to get her cell phone back to her before the plane took off, was incredible. Yeah. She was so amazed. But she opened up her cell phone and there we go, turned it on. And there is a selfie of the employees who retrieved her bag, right?
I love it.
So
that's cute.
That's a great example of
the personal touch,
storytelling and employees being able to live out our values.
I love that. Ginger, this is great. I want to ask you another question. And keep in mind now, the context, many of our listeners in this podcast would be educational leaders, people that have the next generation as their end user, their customer, if you will. What are some of the biggest culture killers that can create a toxic workplace environment rather than a healthy, life-giving workplace? It sounds like Southwest is really a life-giving. You guys are breathing life on people, customers as well as team members. But you are a culture expert. This is what you do now. Would you just help us with some culture killers that we need to avoid and maybe what to do about them?
I think the number one culture killer is leaders who aren't modeling the values of the organization. Because how we act always trumps what we say.
Yeah.
And my first true really understanding of what servant leadership, and I know that's what many of your educators strive for, is that type of servant leadership for their students. If you know, how do we go about modeling the values ourselves? That early story happened for me with Herb Kelleher. I just joined Southwest and I had a long onboarding list of things to do to understand the organization. One of them was to go hear him speak. And by then he was already an icon in the business world. So I expected him to be behind the podium ready to speak, but I walk into this large room where outsiders are coming in to hear Herb speak and he's literally serving the food. Because not enough people have shown up from the catering company to help serve the food. So he's helping serve food. Here I am, a brand new employee. What do? I go get two plates of food because he is modeling that kind of behavior. Yep. So as leaders, how we act always trumps what we say.
Yeah.
And just knowing as leaders that that is the most toxic thing we can do is if we're not living the values of the organization every day.
Yeah.
And or as leaders, if we have those that report to us who aren't living the values and we're letting them unequally get away with that, that is really showing that we are not preserving and taking care of the culture of our organization. Yeah. So sometimes it's appropriate, as I like to say, to promote people to customer. You might just promote them right out of your organization.
Yes.
Because they're truly not living the values and not representing your leadership well.
I love that. It's so simple to understand, but so challenging to do. I think we've all seen, if not worked for, leaders, God love them, who just are hollow. All the right things are written on the wall, framed and everything else, and yet you just see almost the opposite sometimes lived out, and that just deflates any incentive a team member would have for living it out. Yeah.
I agree.
Good. Anything else you want to say about that? I've got another question I want to ask you, but I want to make sure I don't stop you short here.
You didn't cut me short. Okay. No, keep going. Carry on.
So this is kind of a big question. For the people that are listening to us right now, and again, as I mentioned, not all are educational leaders, but everybody listening cares about the next generation, whether they're parents or teachers or, like I said, educators. For those listening right now to this and they're wondering, how could they change their own culture? They realize they're not living up to what you've just described. What advice would you give? Are there some practical steps they can take that you would say, well, do this first?
Yes, I do have some practical steps. I want to acknowledge first that our organizations are going to have a culture one way or the other.
Yep.
And it will either be by accident or by careful nurturing. So the good news is organizations can't have considerable influence over the direction of which their culture progresses, but it will just take a focused effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
So number one, I would say define your culture.
Good.
And some of your listeners may also read Simon Sinek, and I will quote him. He said, if you start with your purpose or your why, everything else will follow from that. Mm-hmm. And at Southwest, our purpose that was to connect people to what's important in their lives through friendly, reliable, and low-cost air travel. And I encourage organizations to look at truly what differentiates your organization. What can you do that no one else in your space does? How do you do it better than anyone else? And for Southwest, that ability to do for providing the low fares, friendly, reliable, and low cost, the combination couldn't have been duplicated by a competitor.
Yeah.
That was a unique combination that only the company could do. So look, defining that culture and finding our uniqueness. Number two is, and we've already talked about it, but it's still so important, is assuring that leadership alignment. Do leaders truly treat employees and as their most important customers? Because that's what they are. Our employees are, as leaders, those are our most important customers. So don't just tell a story about culture. Don't just put your values up on the wall. How, as leaders, are we living that every day? Because as leaders, we must live that story. And number three, I would say share stories relentlessly, because most of us, what are we going to remember, a story or a statistic?
Yeah, a story.
We're going to remember the story. So it really does two things. It sets up the possibilities. You might be showing where someone's gone above and beyond. So it sets up the wild possibilities that someone could go through in living out our values.
Yeah.
But it also, in some cases, might set the boundaries for what should be done in an organization. So just like that cell phone story that I shared earlier, storytelling allows employees to go about showing their personality, to act like owners, and to live out our values every day.
I love that. In fact, as you were talking, I was just thinking about another statement that Simon Sinek made. I don't know when he made it, but you probably have heard it. Your customers will not love your company unless the employees love it first.
Isn't that true?
Yes. And I'm thinking Southwest epitomizes that. You had people that actually had a good time working.
Right.
And doing something unusual for a customer. And of course, the customer's going to love it when they see team members loving it first. That's so, so cool. Well, Ginger, this is so rich. This is so practical. Thank you for being so practical, by the way, in your answers and so full of stories. We are really looking forward to having you with us in June 20 and 21, 2019, at our roundtable. You are going to be addressing many of these culture issues and talking about building an unstoppable culture in a school, an athletic team, a university, a department. We're really, really looking forward to it. I want to give you a chance to share maybe one last thought. As you're with us, maybe even talking from your book, you want to whet our appetite for anything you might be touching on that perhaps you haven't made as clear yet?
You know, Tim, one of the things I will definitely be talking about is maybe some of the practical things we can do to reinforce that culture throughout our systems. So I'll be sharing some tips about practical things that leaders can do. And I hope to pass along, they'll have a little mini playbook, whether they're going back to address their entire team, their entire organization, or just their department. Yeah. But some practical tips that all leaders can live by to really live our culture and bring it alive every day.
I love it. Well, there's no better person to do that than you. I really believe that. We're going to love you. Ginger, thank you for taking some time and sharing with us today. This is so rich, and we're looking for more live and in person this coming June.
Tim, I can't wait. Thank you so much. Yeah, you bet.
What an incredible conversation about culture and what it looks like to build a culture of people who are excited about being there and who really just transform the space they're in. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, I really want more of this, you have the opportunity to actually hear Ginger live, yeah, along with so many other incredible speakers. Dr. Elmore is going to be there speaking as well. It's an event that we host each year called the Roundtable for Principals. It's going to be June 21st and 22nd in Atlanta, Georgia. And we just really want you to be there.
Yeah, this is for educational leaders.
Yes.
But if you are, your end user is students and you're a leader of any sort, this would be for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So please, please, please look at that. The easiest way to get there is just to go to our website, growingleaders.com, and look under events, and you'll see it there, the Roundtable for Principals. We're really excited about this event. We hope you'll join us. As always, if you like this podcast, it helps us so much if you would rate it, to just kind of get the word out, let other people know about what we're doing here. As always, please follow us on social media. You can find us at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We love connecting with you there. And of course, if you've got ideas for other people we should talk to, conversations you want us to have, or subjects you want us to address on this podcast, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those and love hearing from you. Thank you so much for joining us, for listening in on this conversation, and we'll see you next time.